You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Samperia of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, it's good to be back with you.
Yeah, Jeff, it's great to be back. While I do enjoy the nights off a couple times a week, I do not enjoy missing your voice every night.
Yeah, it's there's definitely pros and cons to it, but I think I enjoy the days off more than I enjoy talking to you. So, you know, for now anyway, it's working out well, I think. So today we're going to answer, we had a couple more questions from your mailbag episode from yesterday. Got a couple new ones, so we're going to answer some more questions. There's no real news to talk about. We'll touch briefly on what happened in spring training on Thursday, but mostly just answering questions. So that's the plan. But first, we want to remind you guys, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so really, you know, there's always stuff happening at spring training, and really at this point in spring training, no news is usually good news, because the only news we ever get at this part of spring training is somebody has a tight back or somebody tweaked a quad or something. So no news is probably good news. But Corey Seager did talk with the media, and he was asked about the fact that it is the last year of his contract. And he said, basically, I think he answered it the way like 98% of people in his situation in baseball history have answered it, which was basically, I'm not thinking about that. Don't want to be a distraction. Just focus on 2021 and win another World Series, blah, 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 right?
I mean, Corey Seager is the guy that you kind of expect that answer from regardless. We had seen occasional other people mention it, but yeah, especially with him, there's just a lot going on. If they would have had an extension, you would have imagined it would have happened already, or some type of negotiations or something. And maybe they are going on and they're going to try to get something before the season. But just the way everything is, I don't think that's happening. And he's just going to try to play out this last year and build his value based off of last year's value and prove that he's, you know, the top guy of all the guys coming onto the shortstop market after this season.
Yeah. And yeah, between his agent being Scott Boras, which most Boras clients don't go for that extension before free agency, and the fact that it is going to be a, you know, he's coming off, I guess I could see him considering signing an extension now because he was so hot in the postseason, but I do think he's expecting to bet on himself and have a full 162 game season that is maybe not quite as hot as his 2020 postseason was, but I think he wants another really good year under his belt to show that he is, you know, one of the top two or three shortstops in baseball as he's heading into free agency. So,
yeah.
The only other non-news, Alex Vezia, I assume it's Vezia, I don't know. He talked with the media, and there wasn't anything too noteworthy except that he refers to his fastball as an invisible between his spin rate and arm angle and whatever. Basically, it is apparently hard for hitters to see, which makes sense because he has had really good strikeout numbers and whatnot, even though he doesn't throw extremely hard. And so, I mean, he throws hard, harder than you or I do, but he doesn't throw super hard, but he's had good strikeout numbers, and so that makes sense. So just another thing to be excited about him.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch, just got to read some of the comments of his, but he seemed like an interesting guy. He said basically his fastball technique is grip it and rip it. So grip and rip it is, anytime you use that, I'm probably going to like you as a player.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and so that's it for news or quote-unquote news. So let's jump into the questions. And first one I want to do is from LA Sports News at sports_news_LA. And just ask, biggest Dodger surprise? Question mark.
Yeah, this is a good question, one you could ask every year. And We could probably all get answers, or we'd probably all get the answers wrong. Every year it's kind of been someone different that stepped up. I don't think anyone had Victor Gonzalez on the surprise radar last year, and he probably would have
anyone?
Been.
I think one person did.
Well, he had it on a radar, but not maybe. I don't know if he would have picked him to be a guy. But either way, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to give an obvious answer. You know, Zach McKinstry's a guy that's going to have a chance to make an impact and be a guy who can fill a role for the Dodgers. I'm going to go with Matt Beatty, and the word surprise may depend on how you feel about Matt Beatty. Obviously, we have stronger feelings of goodwill toward him than maybe some others do. But I think after what kind of was a lost year last year, I think he's going to assume a jock type role. I don't think Pollock can withstand the rigors of another 162 game season, and I think he's going to struggle a little bit, and I think they'll try to get him some at bats in left field. I think he's going to show himself again to Dodger fans who might have forgot about him last year.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. If he does qualify as a surprise, I am firmly in the camp that Matt Beatty is a very, very good hitter. So if that will surprise people, if he hits well, then that's a surprise. You know, I won't say Gavin Lux. We'll talk about him more in the second segment. I think there are some people who would be surprised by Lux having a good season, which is something I expect to happen, but I don't think that quite qualifies. I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with Clayton Beater. I think Clayton Beater is going to end up in the Dodgers bullpen at some point in 2021. And possibly even throw meaningful innings in the 2021 postseason. I don't know if he'll close out the World Series or anything, but I expect Clayton Beater. I was listening to Eric Longenhagen, the Fangraphs prospect guy, talking about Beater the other day, and he compared him favorably to James Karinchak on the Indians, who is really, really intriguing. And so Beater isn't making anybody's top prospect list because he is definitely a relief pitcher, and it's hard to make a prospect list as a relief pitcher. Most guys in the minor leagues are trying to be starters and only go to relief when they fail at that. But Beater just came out of college as a reliever, but I think that puts him a little bit closer to the big leagues and ready to contribute. And so I am excited to see him, and I'm gonna call him our surprise for this year.
That one. The Dodgers will probably need a left-handed reliever at some point based on the roster currently constructed, so that's a good one.
You just pulled a Jeff and just assumed because his name is Clayton he's left-handed. Remember? I made that mistake last year when they drafted him. He's right-handed.
The hammer curve and Clayton Beater, yeah, I thought lefty, but
yeah, Clayton Kershaw, Clayton Richard, you know, what kind of person named Clayton isn't left-handed? But apparently Clayton Beater is the answer. So
either way, he still fills the role.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we'll come back in a minute, and we will, I think we got four more question answers, so keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, Vince, let's jump back into our questions. Let's go to, I'll ask the next one, I guess. Let's go to Kevin at BlueGoon82. He says, I feel good about Gavin Lux, but what do we do with him if he fizzles again? Trade him? Another lost year?
Yeah, it's a good question, and you know, there's a lot of varying opinions on Gavin Lux, especially in this here podcast. I'm not as high on him as Jeff was, but I haven't been on high as him since the beginning, not just because of last year. But if he fizzles, I talked about this a little bit in one of my episodes this week. If I think they're going to give him the chance to be the everyday second baseman, or at least the 80% everyday second baseman. And I think they're going to, with a long season, with the rest of the team kind of being set up and should be really good, I think he's going to be able to get a little bit of a longer leash, and they're going to kind of figure it out. So, you know, the fizzles part might not be something that they know about till after, you know, the summer, maybe into going into July, late August, or early September. So at that point, I guess it would be a lost year because he didn't bring up trade value, if that's what they want to do. I don't think they trade him specifically because if he fizzles, he doesn't have much value. So I guess in that case, if he fizzles, that means he, in my words, he was offered second base. He didn't get it. He struggled into late in the season. And then it becomes kind of a lost year because – He can either, well, the guy said it would depend how he comes back next year. But if, you know, coming back off of that, what happened last year, I think that's enough motivation to get him ready for this year. So hopefully he doesn't fizzle.
Yeah, and I don't expect a fizzle, as I've made abundantly clear over and over. I think he is extremely good, and he's going to be extremely good. And I do think because they do have the benefit of a 162-game season this year, being able to give him more time to grow into it. I think they just didn't have that luxury last year in a 60-game season, and so they couldn't let him learn on the job. And I think they will be able to let him learn on the job a little bit. So I think he's going to be good. But if he does fizzle, I think you're right, Vince, that trading him would be silly to trade him when his value is that low. I wouldn't be surprised if he can't hold down second base. If they did try to turn him into some sort of super utility guy, he's definitely got the athleticism to play the outfield. And we know he can play second base and shortstop at least somewhat. And so, you know, who does that sound like? That's a Kike Hernandez type. And even down to, you know, if he fizzles, you know, offensively inconsistent, that sounds like Kike too. So, you know, maybe they do try to go that route with him to get the Dodgers have definitely shown they can get value out of a utility player, even if he doesn't necessarily earn a starting job. But if he's good enough to bounce around to different positions, give a bunch of guys a day off, I could see him filling that role. But I actually expect him to be the starting second baseman and really, really good.
All right, next question came from Mark at Woodman C4. He asks, what do you think of the new minor league AAA schedule? He says he loves how late it goes into September, but how will that affect September call-up?
Yeah, so they had to bump the minor league schedules back because the seasons are starting a little bit later. They changed up the minor league schedules a lot, not as much travel. They're doing 6-game series and basically in AAA, I didn't look at the other leagues just because AAA is what I have close to me. And so that was the one I was interested in. But they'll have every Wednesday off and then they'll play a Thursday through Tuesday series. And so that's kind of interesting, but it also normally the AAA season ends right around the beginning of September, which makes sense because of September call-ups. And this year it doesn't end till it goes almost as late as the major league season. And one of the reasons they can get away with that is because the new roster rules that technically went into effect last year and then immediately got put on hold because of COVID, but rosters no longer expand to 40 guys in September. They expand from 26 to 28. And so you can get away with keeping AAA going because the major league team is only going to be stealing two guys from the AAA team. And so I'm actually interested to see if they keep this next year, even without all the COVID stuff. Hopefully we'll be totally back to normal by next year, but they might keep this type of schedule going since the impetus to stop the season at the beginning of September is no longer there. You know what? Might as well keep playing. The weather's still good. Keep playing.
Yeah, it's very possible. And like I said, it's not going to affect the Dodgers in September call-ups too much. And, you know, the way things – it's going to depend on the way the season goes, because if the season kind of goes awry a little bit, they may have to add taxi squad back into the mix. And then basically your taxi squad is going to be your call-ups anyways.
Next question from Steve-O at Steve_O_Panda. Are the Dodgers players actually interested in Bauer more than measuring their teammate to see if he can walk the talk, or are they? Wait, I'm going to start this question over. We can delete that. Are the Dodgers players interested in Bauer more in measuring their teammate to see if he can walk the talk, or are they genuinely interested in learning his techniques?
Probably a little bit of both. Obviously, they want to see if he can walk the talk because that's going to help them on the field and make them a better team and have a better chance of repeating as World Series champions. But baseball players are always looking to get an edge, always looking to find new things, always looking to, you know, find new pitches. You always hear about a guy learning a pitch or a grip. You know, Tony Gonsolin learned a grip from Joel Peralta a few years ago. And then, you know, other guys have taken different things from different people. And that's always what's going to happen. And with Bauer, who was kind of one of the guys at the forefront of the driveline stuff and using analytics and using all that kind of stuff to kind of drive the way he operates, and then also some of his techniques, which were a little bit not as widely accepted before, like using weighted balls to warm up and things of that nature. So I definitely think that they're genuine interested in maybe not learning all his techniques, but learning different things or picking his brain about certain things and see how he feels about it. And, you know, Bauer's going to learn just as much from the other guys as they learn from him. And that's kind of how baseball is. If you're, you know, even if you're just a coach or a player or whatever else it is, you're always talking baseball, asking questions, figuring out little things here and there. I mean, we saw Mookie Betts help Austin Barnes get his hitting back, whatever he told him. It seemed to work out. There was a story a few weeks ago where Mookie worked out with, I think, his cousin and and the Dodgers ended up signing his cousin because he worked on it, helped him work on his swing and got things going for him. And now he's a guy in the Dodgers minor league system. So, yeah, I think they're genuinely interested in learning him. And obviously, if he can talk the talk and walk the walk, it's going to help them on the field as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's more genuine interest. Trevor Bauer's reputation among fans on social media is, you know, an obnoxious blowhard and a lot of words that are even worse than that. Trevor Bauer's reputation among players is this guy turned himself into one of the best pitchers in baseball despite, let's say, very little natural physical ability, athletic ability. He is a self-proclaimed non-athlete, but he is committed to being the best pitcher he can be. And you remember when I texted Ross Stripling after the Dodgers signed Bauer, what Stripling ended with was every pitcher in that organization is going to get better because of Trevor Bauer. And so I think there is a lot of genuine interest to see what's he doing and, you know, what can I learn from him? Because, you know, even Clayton Kershaw was saying that, there are things they can learn from each other. Kershaw said he really likes the approach Bauer takes because it's so much different than Kershaw's approach, and he's excited to see if there is anything he can learn from that. Obviously, a guy of Kershaw's stature maybe doesn't feel like he has as much to learn, but, you know, the young guys especially, yeah, you could definitely go in and see, you know, I could definitely picture a guy like May or Gonsolin saying, I want to look and see what this guy's doing because, you know, I'm looking for that edge to get me to that next level to be an established starter in the big leagues. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the non-athlete thing, every time I see him, he just looks like less and less of an athlete. I don't know if that's I don't know. He honestly does. If you saw him walking down the street, you'd be like, oh yeah, there's no way that guy can throw 100 miles an hour. Yeah. All right, last question from Scott Walden at Ohio Scott 2. He asks, between Nelson, Morrow, Pazos, and Romero, who makes the team? And if they do, who would get DFA'd? Also, since the four have no options, do they have to make the 26-man, or can they be placed on the 40-man?
All right, so there's a couple different questions there. And if only one of them made the team, then they wouldn't need to DFA anybody because they still have one 40-man roster spot available when they put Tommy Canley on the 60-day injured list. They haven't done that yet, but when they do, that would open up a spot on the 40-man roster. And so nobody would have to get DFA'd. I think Brandon Morrow at this point seems like a pretty, I don't know about a sure thing to make the team, but seems promising anyway. Seems like he has a head start on that. The other guys, Nelson, I guess, would be next most likely. I haven't heard much about Pazos or Romero yet in spring training. But you know, to get to the other part of the question, these guys all signed minor league contracts, and minor league contracts are what they sound like. They signed a contract to be a minor leaguer. And so all of these guys, they are not on the 40-man roster, and they don't have to be because, you know, he asked about options, and I'll give a quick kind of rundown on what that means. Options only apply to guys on the 40-man roster. Basically, the option is you have 3 years in which you can be on the 40-man roster and spend at least 20 days in the minor leagues that year. And so options don't apply to these guys. They're veterans. They're not, you know, but because they're not on the 40-man roster, the plan is for them to start in the minor leagues unless they have a specific opt-out date in their contract. A lot of times, one of these guys, an established big leaguer, will sign a minor league contract saying, you know, if I don't make the team. It happened with, what was that dude's name? Brad Miller? a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he was kind of making noise in spring training, like he might make the team. He was hitting pretty well for the Dodgers. And then it got to the point where they got to that date that that they had stipulated in his contract. Okay, Dodgers, you have to make a decision. Am I on the team or not? And when they decided no, then they had to they gave him the option, and he chose to be released and become a free agent, and he caught on somewhere else. I haven't heard of any of those four guys that Scott specifically mentioned having an opt-out date in their contracts, but those aren't necessarily always things that get publicized when the contracts get signed. So it's possible that they might. I guess maybe Jimmy Nelson, it wouldn't be surprising if he had one. The other guys, I'd be surprised, honestly, if any of those four guys have an opt-out date. I think the plan is they maybe make the team out of spring training. If not, they go to AAA and expect to come up. But yeah, once they did get put on the 40-man roster in order to be put on the active roster, then it becomes a different thing because they don't have options left. And so then you would have to DFA them if you want to send them back to the minors. And so it is a little bit tricky, and it kind of works against them to make the team out of spring training, knowing that you have less flexibility with those guys than you do with the younger guys who do have option years available.
Morrow had an opt-out date the first time around, and the Dodgers ended up bringing him around just around that date to make sure he stayed on the roster, and ended up working out and staying the entire year. So, yeah, I don't think, you know, Pazos and Romero, they'd have to really turn some heads. But if they do end up, you know, being minor league depth, that, as we've seen with the Dodgers, if you're on the general vicinity of the Dodgers roster, you might find your way on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that does it for our questions. Vince, you have any other final thoughts before we wrap this up?
We finally get to see some Dodger baseball on Sunday, so that's exciting. The person that is going to start that game, maybe not so exciting. I don't think I've ever heard of him. Might kick him. But either way, we get to see some Dodger baseball. We get to have games pretty much every day again, and then it'll roll right into the regular season. So we're basically at opening day.
Yeah, and it was announced the other day that Sportsnet LA will be televising every spring training game. And that's cool. I assume those will also be available on MLB TV for those of you who are outside of the Dodgers area like I am. And even if you are inside the area, if you don't have Sportsnet LA, there's ways to watch. So shoot me a DM if you're not familiar with those ways. Next week, we are going to a slightly different format on this show. We've been doing a two-segment format with one ad break in the middle. Our shows have been supposed to be 15 to 20 minutes, and we every once in a while keep them to that length. But going forward, we're going to be doing three segments with two ad breaks, and with a target time of 22 to 30 minutes. So realistically, the length of our podcasts will probably stay about the same. Hopefully we don't expand to 40 minutes with this new expansion, because I can't do 40 minutes every day. But we will be going to a little bit longer, slightly longer episodes, so you can expect 25 to 30 minutes each day instead of, you know, 20 to 25 that we've been doing. I know Mark, the guy who asked the question about the AAA schedule, will be happy about that. He specifically asked me to do longer episodes because he listens while he's on his walk, and he gets annoyed when he runs out of podcasts before he runs out of walk. So Mark, this one's for you. You can thank David Locke for that. This is the format that all the other sports on the Locked On Network have been doing. Baseball has been the only one on the two-segment format, so we are just catching up with the Locked On NBA and NFL and NHL teams. So you can look forward to that on Monday. And Vince and I think, will keep up this one episode together and two solo episodes each week, at least for the foreseeable future. So I think that's it for this week. Thank you all for listening. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, please subscribe there to help other people find us, even if you don't use it. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text there anytime you want. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!